Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I understand you have exams this morning that start at 9:30, which means I have got to get on my bike and keep pedaling furiously so as to get as much said as possible and stop on time. Well, it's good to be with you. I trust the Lord will bless us today. I see someone has got new glasses, and I'm sure they've discovered that I'm far better looking than they imagined, now that they can see me clearly. All right, let's turn, please, to the Gospel of Luke. We're starting a new parable today, and we're in chapter 15 of the Gospel of Luke. The chapter 15 of the Gospel of Luke. Now, in this chapter, there are three parables, and they basically all have the same theme, finding that which is lost. But the parable we're going to look at is probably one of the best known of the parables, and although it's always difficult to say this, maybe one of the best loved of the parables. It's the parable that we have come to know as the prodigal son, the parable of the prodigal son. Look, please, at the verse 11. We'll only read a verse or two, because we're going to try and introduce the parable today. And he said, that's the Lord Jesus, he said, a certain man. There's that word again. We mentioned the use of it in the last parable we were looking at, the Good Samaritan, and I suggested to you that the word suggests that this is not just a gospel illustration that the Lord Jesus came up with, but it might actually relate to an actual occurrence, something that really happened. And its use here again, I feel, it suggests to me anyway, that what we're about to read of is an account of incidents that really did happen. There was a young man who did the things that are recorded here in this parable. But it's not important. I just have come to that conclusion that there really was a prodigal son. And the Savior is relating something that really did happen. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them, gave to both the sons his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now that gives us an introduction to the parable. And I want just to observe one or two things on this, our first day around this particular account in the Word of God. As I have already said, this parable is one of three in which the theme is finding that which is lost. There's the lost sheep earlier in the chapter. You know all about that. And then, perhaps a little less known, the lady who lost the silver coin and who just turned the house upside down looking for it and found it. And all of them ends with rejoicing at the finding of that which was lost. These parables sprang really from what was said to the Savior by way of a jibe. In other words, he was replying to unkind, untrue things being said about him. Look at the verses 1 and 2. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Publicans, as you know, in the scriptural context, in the New Testament context, refers to a particular profession that was marked by dishonesty and ungodliness. They were sort of tax collectors, but they did so by way of a method that's not used in our country. They paid the government, the Roman government, a certain fee, which gave them the right to collect the taxes in an area. The government would say, well, let's say County Tyrone, we reckon there's bound to be £1 million to be collected there in taxes. You pay us £750,000 and you can go and collect whatever you can get. Consequently, unscrupulous, dishonest men would extract from the people far more than the £750,000 that had been paid, and they would have a great profit. So they were known amongst the people as unscrupulous, malicious, hard-hearted, cruel, deceitful, the worst of individuals. But here we see them along with sinners, just the general riffraff, can I call them that, of the people. And they had gathered to hear the Lord Jesus. Listen to me. That's the spirit of revival. That's the spirit of revival. Today, can we get the people out there who are following the ways of sin? Can we get them to come in to hear the gospel? I think no matter how young you are, you will know that's difficult. Maybe you have even spoken to a neighbour or a relative and you've said, won't you come along to the gospel meeting? But no, they won't come. But here, we have the most unlikely individuals crowding to hear the Saviour. That's a day of revival. The ministry of the Lord Jesus, I can tell you, was a ministry attended by the mighty power of God. And there was a stirring amongst the people. And boys and girls, I'll just say this when I'm on this topic. I want you to notice that while there was a stirring amongst sinners and an interest generated amongst men and women in the things of God and the things of eternity and in the gospel, there was also another stirring of opposition to the Lord Jesus. Revival always means a counterattack by the devil. People sometimes have the impression, you know, oh, if we only had revival, how wonderful it would be. Listen, if we had revival, you have the devils rising up against you. And every agent of the devil and every disciple of the devil pouring forth hatred against you. So while there is on the one hand in revival a wonderful, wonderful time in which heaven comes down and there's joy and power and souls being saved, at the same time there's the wrath of the devil, very evident. And here we find in the verse 1 the publicans and the sinners coming together, drawing near, it says. Not content, stand away far back. But they got as close as they could in case they missed hearing anything. Real moving of God, a drawing of men and women to Christ. But also, look at the next verse. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured. See, here's the other side of the coin. They murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. This was a slight upon Christ. This was a suggestion that what he was doing was wrong. He's mingling with wicked men and women. And this is not right. If he was a man of God, he would have nothing to do with them. Well, now the Saviour sets out, of course, to show that that notion is entirely wrong. Entirely wrong. Listen to me. To see the Lord Jesus mingling with sinners is a wonderful thing. We're not for a moment to consider that he's doing something wrong, as the Pharisees were suggesting. Just you remember this, that by mingling with the publicans and sinners, the Lord Jesus was doing no wrong, nor was he condoning their sin any more than a doctor condones disease when he mingles with the sick. He's not endorsing the lifestyle, perhaps, of the people who are there and who have brought sickness upon themselves. Because I have to say that in many instances, the sicknesses that people endure are brought on themselves. Brought on themselves. You only have to ask a nurse in the emergency department of the hospital, and they'll tell you what it is they have to put up with from people who find themselves sick and injured because of their own sinful, wicked lifestyle. their drug taking, their alcohol taking, and other things. But you can't say the nurse is wrong having anything to do with them, any more than these Pharisees could say that the Lord Jesus was wrong in mingling with the sinners. He had come to minister unto sinners. He had come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now this parable, as I said, it's probably one of the best known, maybe the best loved. It's always difficult to draw distinctions because we do love all of the Word of God. But this parable's right up to date. People like to say the Bible's out of date. Don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? The Bible, you see, is the Word of God. And being the Word of God, it's never out of date. The God of heaven, who is the author of the Scriptures, has given us a book that was right up to date 2,000-3,000 years ago. And it's right up to date still. It has never lost its power. It has never lost its meaning and its truthfulness. And we must ever bear this in mind. Now, you young people in particular, we heard quoted in prayer this morning a lovely verse from the Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The Bible's for the young. Bible's for the young. The devil comes along, whispers in the ear of every generation. Don't listen to the Bible. It's for old people. It's not for you. It's out of date. But God says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? A young man, heeding what the Bible says, will discover a life of purity. And here, in the story of the prodigal son, we discover that this parable's right up to date. It's right up to date. You young folk, please bear that in mind. I know what you think, or you have been tempted to think. You have been tempted to think exactly as the prodigal was. You see, the prodigal was tempted to think that I've got to get out of here. I've got to get away from my father. He's so old-fashioned. He's so out of date. He's so out of touch with what's happening. I've got to get away. And I've got to live my own life. And I've got to investigate what it is out there. For I know out there is that which is much better than that which is here in this house. So I've got to get away. Every generation has thought that. That's what's faced every generation. And every generation has been tempted. And let's say every young person has actually succumbed to the temptation. But they have been tempted to think, my father and mother know nothing of today. They're so out of date. They don't know what's going on today. They're so out of touch. And that's what the prodigal thought. But he was wrong. Oh, how wrong he was. And he paid the price of being wrong. And he learned the hard way that he was the fool and his father was the wise one. Oh, please, young people, you learn that from this parable. You learn that lesson. And oh, how it will serve you well. You know, boys and girls, the Lord Jesus knows all about your heart. The Lord Jesus is in touch with your thinking. He knows what you're thinking. In setting out this story, he indicates that very clearly. And every generation who have ever read the Bible have had to confess this. This is just right up to date. 100 years ago, right up to date. 1,000 years ago, right up to date. Right up to date. Not so long ago in the Young People's Fellowship, I did a couple of messages on the Apostle Paul meeting with the prodigal son. And of course, we were talking about that little epistle of Paul to Philemon, in which you read something of the story of Onesimus, who ran away, left his master, left a good home, stole some money in the process, and headed off to the big city of Rome, thinking there he would see life much better than closed up in this Christian home, this old-fashioned home. But in God's mercy, he met up with Paul, and he was saved. Oh, nothing changes. The Bible's right up to date, boys and girls. And the Lord knows what you're thinking. And he puts down here in this parable that which each and every one of us, no matter what our age may be, may profit from. We leave it there. We'll come back again in the will of the Lord on Thursday and take the matter up from that point. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, I pray that we will come to this passage with reverence. We will come to this passage with a consciousness that the Lord knows all about us. He understands us. And he has set down here in these words the wisest of counsel and guidance. I pray that each young heart will have a reverence for God's truth, and that they will be enabled by thy grace to trust thy word and obey it. Bless the school today. We pray for those who are sick. Lord, let your hand be upon them. And then the exams, Lord. Help each child to do their best for the Saviour's sake. Hear us now, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.